Our Old Testament lesson is a prayer for cleansing and pardoning for David after he was confronted by Nathan concerning his sins with Bathsheba and Uriah, her husband. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Our New Testament reading, James, the 5th chapter, verses 15 and 16. And it is a prayer. I remember Richard Sulbach praying the same prayer for me prior to my major surgery. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and up anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective.
Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing, receiving and living out of God's word among God's people this morning. How are you? Good, awake? And I know if you had any doubts about being alert this morning, I know the blast of cold, refreshing air woke you up as you made your way to your car this morning to come here. So good morning. I'm happy to see you. Glad that you're here. We are continuing here at Glenmar in our sermon series on still waters, spiritual practices in the season of Lent that quiet and restore our souls. And we're really excited about the conversations we're hearing among you all about your experiences with silence and solitude and meditative reading of Scripture, knowing that you're experiencing God and hearing God's word in fresh, new ways as you discover ancient prayer practices for renewal today. So keep up the good work. We have groups meeting on Sunday mornings, Monday evenings here at church. We've got people meeting in homes and even at a local bookstore and coffee shop on Thursday mornings. It's very exciting. Today, we're talking about the spiritual practice of confession. You have heard it said that confession is good for the soul. I could not find the origin of that statement. It seems it's been around for so long that we all know it and accept it. Confession is good for the soul. You know, it's something that as a parent, I certainly try to instill in my own children, you know, about being open to their wrongdoings with one another. And I remember a time when they were very little, perhaps about 5 and 8. And I was in another room in the house, and I heard a loud wail from the younger brother. And I said, "What's going on in there?" To the older one, I said, "Did you hit your brother?" "No, I didn't hit my brother." And I said, "Well, I hear him crying. Don't lie to me. Fess up. Did you hit your brother?" "No, I didn't hit my brother." I said, "I cannot believe what I'm hearing." You're standing there telling me you didn't hit your brother, and I hear him crying. I hear him say, "I didn't hit my brother. I kicked him." I said, "All right, well, say you're sorry and go take your place on the bottom step." You know what the bottom step was in my house? Not a technical, timeout, yeah, timeout. And Lent is a season for looking at the things that we need to confess, the things that cause us to feel separated from God and one another. On Ash Wednesday last month, when many of you came to worship at the beginning of Lent, people came gathered here to experience God's grace and forgiveness and acknowledge their personal need for it. We confessed out loud. In fact, we read Psalm 51 together in one voice. And then people came forward and received a mark on our foreheads that we could all see in one another as we looked around, reminding us of our humanity and our need for God's grace, even as being lovingly created by Him. And so today in this season of Lent, we continue to acknowledge that we are still in need of God's grace. It's always there for us and available to us. In fact, it is God's love which prompts us to know that we need it. Confession is a spiritual discipline because we bring ourselves consciously, repetitively, some more often than others, open-heartedly to be in God's presence, to be known. Confession is good for the soul. And yet, it's one of the most difficult spiritual practices for Christians, in part because we feel so vulnerable when we risk doing it. I mean, there are things that we'd rather not face about ourselves or see in each other. Well, in an effort to make confession more approachable and accessible, the Catholic Diocese in New York designed an ad. You've seen infomercials, that guy Billy, I can't remember his last name, who would do the OxyClean and the ShamWow commercials, right? Very eye-catching. Well, they patterned this ad after the famous ShamWow infomercial. It's called SoulWow. Here's a still picture of what it looks like. And here's what the priest says. "Feeling down, lost, confused, things you want to get off your chest? There are thousands of products to clean your house, clothes, teeth, and hair, and everything else, but only one way to clean yourself from the inside out. Father Vic here for SoulWow. You'll be saying wow after taking part in confession this week at any church in the Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island communities. There are hundreds of priests waiting to help you remember that almost baptized feeling. Nothing soothes the soul like a true confession. You'll be wondering how you went so long without it. So as Easter fast approaches, it's time to come clean. Visit soulwow.com. That's SoulWow.com, and do it today." Thank you. My mother always said it was good to have something to fall back on. So if this ministry thing doesn't work out. And then the voiceover goes, Visit soulwell.com today. This offer is free, and all you need to bring is a contrite heart. Now, we all laugh at that, but something I appreciate about our Christian family in the Catholic Church is that this ad helped break down the barriers to a spiritual practice that's really good for us, confession. It helped people feel invited by confessing their sins to another human being, and in so doing, receive the grace and love of God that God's already given us in Jesus Christ. And they tracked the attendance at church and confession in the weeks following the debut of this ad, and attendance in confession and the spiritual practice increased. Now, one of the things I appreciate about our faith as United Methodists is that we don't have to go to a clergy to confess. We can honor the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 that says there's one God, and there's also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus. And we can pray on our own and offer our confession before God. We can go directly to God. And we heard in the fifth chapter of James today that we can also come to one another. The scripture read said, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And all of these scriptures stand to support our need for confession and offer a lot of possibilities for us. Confession is good for the soul. It's part of our faith heritage as United Methodists. Our spiritual ancestors, before coming to America, would gather in England in groups called classes. And in groups of 12 or so, the question each week with one another began with something like this: how is it with your soul? And that was the opening question for the class and the basis for their conversation. And then, for those who were intent, conscious about their discipleship, there were smaller groups of people that met, six or seven or so. They were called bands of Methodists. And the question for the smaller group of people were things that were much more direct and intimate, things like, what known sins have you committed since we last met? And these would be questions around the group from people who would support each other with prayer and encouragement. And as they shared, they learned that they weren't alone in the struggles that they faced in life, and that speaking the truth in love to one another, they could grow to become the persons God would have them to be, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Richard Foster, in his classic book on spiritual disciplines, Celebration of Discipline, says, we are healed when we know that we're not alone in our sin. In mutual confession, we release the power that heals. In my family of origin, I'm the oldest of three girls. Okay, anyone else here an oldest child? Yes, thank you. So you feel my pain. I'm really a typical eldest child, independent, responsible, right? In fact, so responsible that I, you know, have oversight for the other people in my family too. And very independent. In fact, one of the earliest recorded sentences that I spoke and written down in my baby book is, I can do it myself. Yes, don't need your help, your advice, your guidance, or opinion. I certainly don't need your sympathy or pity. And of course, that also means I don't want your correction, discipline, or accountability. Because that would mean that after all those years of training as the oldest, independent, responsible person, that I don't know it all, that I don't have it all figured out, that I don't always do everything right. It was very annoying for my younger sisters. One of my first opportunities for confession came on a Christian retreat when someone saw me. They saw me for who I was, and they didn't even know me. And this leader said, you know, you don't have to be perfect. It's okay to have made mistakes. Let people know you're human. People admire you if you do things right all the time. They'll love you if they know you're real, someone who messes up once in a while. Can any oldest children relate to that? Get a witness? I hear one. And I began there a journey of very small steps, of letting go of trying to have it all figured out, knowing it all, and doing everything right, and of course beating myself up over it. Shortly after that, when I had returned to church, I hung around one day and I asked a trusted friend if we could talk. By the way, this is how confessions sometimes start. Do you have some time? Could we talk? There's something I'd like to talk to you about. And so we met, and I started talking. And, you know, a half a dozen meetings and conversations later, I was still talking. See, I had imagined that all the things that I judged myself for were so bad that no one else would understand. Certainly not anyone as good and perfect as my Christian friend from church. I had also imagined that everyone else in church had grown up into such holy persons whose lives were so together that I felt like I was lagging behind, not like them, alone in my failures or sin. But in that relationship with my friend, I heard and received and experienced God's grace with a Christian sister. And when I said things like, well, what about this? I heard her say, it's okay. You're not alone in your experience. And then when I said, well, actually, there was this other time, I heard her say, I can relate to that. And each time, the things I brought forth were met with understanding and grace. Mostly, she just listened. The important part of this was that she didn't respond to me by saying, no way, or you think that's bad, or I can top that, or the very devastating, right? She just listened. She didn't judge or compete with me and didn't seem shocked. And as I uncovered the obvious sins in my life, I was able to go to the root of those, the quieter inward ones, those roots of pride and perfectionism. And at one point, my friend reached across the table and took my hand and gave me a great gift, saying, you know, Mary Kay, God forgives you. I forgive you. Nothing of what you have said about what you have done defines who you are. God's love defines who you are. And she prayed for me throughout these meetings. And in this experience, I became closer to God and then freer to become who God calls me to be. In Scripture, in the Gospel of John, in the 20th chapter, there's a verse that Jesus says to his disciples, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Through this experience, I learned that we can confess our sins to one another and that we have the authority to forgive one another in Jesus' name. We are a community of sinners, every one of us, called to receive the unconditional love of God in Jesus Christ and to extend that love to one another. I mean, look around. We're not alone in our condition. We're in this together. We all experience the same messiness and worldliness of life. And so, in a sense, when we go to one another to share our struggles, we're going before God also. Now, if that feels like too big of a risk, if that just feels too vulnerable for you, just try talking to God, like David did. In our book study, Creating a Life with God during this Lenten season, there's a prayer that we read about this week called the Jesus Prayer, and it's really simple. It goes like this: Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. It's from Jesus' encounter with a blind man in the book of Mark. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. It's not unlike the opening of King David's prayer when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan for using his power to manipulate and seduce a woman, commit adultery, murder her husband, an officer in his own army, and then try to cover up the deed. David's opening prayer goes like this: Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Now, if you can't think of anything to confess, I am grateful once again to the Catholic Church. There's an ancient practice from St. Ignatius of Loyola called the Prayer of Examine, and it's a list of questions that lead you through to think about the things to work on and confess. The Prayer of Examine is asking God to look at our hearts and show us where we need God's grace. Well, if you don't happen to have the book of Ignatian spiritual exercises sitting on your shelf, I am once again grateful to the Catholic Church, because in February, before this Lenten season, for $1.99, they introduced the Confession app for my iPhone. I think we've got it. And so this is what it looks like. This is on my iPhone. And so, looking back over an hour or a day or a week, after I entered some information about myself, it came up with a customized examine of places that I might need to see whether my words or actions have brought me closer to God or farther away from God. Some of them look like this. This would be responsibilities maybe to my ministry. And this is my responsibilities to others. So these are things to prompt me to reflect on and confess in case I can't come up with them on my own. But you don't need an iPhone application to go through this prayer of examination. You can just sit before God and ask God to show you the things you need to work on. Or better yet, ask someone who knows you and loves you about what you need to work on. I imagine I could have saved myself a lot of time if I had just asked my younger sisters a long time ago. And ultimately, God knows these answers before we do. God doesn't have any delusion about our sin. We do. And his Son, Jesus Christ, who came and loved us and died for us and for the sins of the whole world, has already forgiven the sins of the confessions that we make from the past, the present, and the future. God forgives us before we even confess, so that we can feel freed from the burden and return to the arms of a loving God. So this Lenten season, can we be a people who come clean before God like King David in private conversation? Or people who reach out to talk to each other, listen and pray for one another, and become whole in Jesus Christ? The still water practice of confession is good for the soul. It's offered for you. Will you receive it?